We've all got scars, some on the outside and some on the inside. But we can't be defined by our scars. I've spoken with some extraordinary people about how they've become empowered by their scars. This is I've Got Scars, Baby.
All right. So I am so excited right now. This show, first of all, it's really nostalgic for me, okay? I have to tell y'all. I'm really excited because my guest, we went to high school together. Oh my God, that's why.
I know, right?
Detroit Soul, that's why Detroit Soul, okay? She is a dance educator, choreographer, and a scholar. I want you guys to welcome to the show, Miss Truly Austin Bennett.
All right. Hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be here.
Man, I'm so excited to have you on. And of course, you know, again, Detroit Soul, that's why I wore the shirt. We got to represent in these streets, okay? So
facts.
All the facts, yes. So today we're going to be talking about examining imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, imposter syndrome is basically saying like, all these wonderful things are happening in my life and it's amazing. And there's a part of me that's just like, I don't think I deserve it. Like, how did I get here? I don't think I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, that's kind of what that is. And so we're going to get to the dish because I can say to you that I've actually definitely felt like that before. But for you, like, let's talk about what's going on. Let's talk about what's happening right now and what is kind of bringing up this imposter syndrome for you. What's going on in your life right now?
So people who know me know I do a lot. Usually I'm doing the most, way too much.
Okay, really quick. Let me just tell you, I believe that that's very true because she literally said, but when we pushed the interview back 30 minutes, she was like, so what I did was I took a nap. Right. I took a nap and then I was like, that was really nice. I'm so happy I got a chance to take a nap. So she's not playing when she's saying she do a lot. OK, go ahead.
Now, to be fair, now that extra 30 minutes, I didn't actually sleep, but like I was still on my phone checking emails, but I was laying down checking them. So that counts as rest. I'm counting it. I'm putting it in there.
OK.
And I was also making the list of the other emails I do need to respond to, the documents I need to finish for the shows that are upcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the best way I sum my life up currently is I'm a mom of three, all school age. The youngest is 10. Above him is my 12-year-old daughter. And then my oldest is 18. He's a graduating senior. So keeping their lives together in this new virtual format has been wild. On top of that, I am also an educator. I am currently working at three different institutions. So I just alternate days that I'm working at each because I'm adjunct faculty. So I don't make enough money at just one of those locations. So I'm all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, I am taking a business course to kind of help push my personal business along. I do love teaching. I do. I have no intention of leaving the field, but there's a lot that I can't do up under someone else's name that I'm like, yeah, I need my own thing.
Yeah.
I am also a PhD student. I will be a PhD candidate in the fall. Just put that in out there, speak that into existence. I have exams this summer.
Awesome.
So right now we're working on our exams, which means we are writing the first chapter of our dissertation currently. Wow. I actually have a meeting tomorrow with one of my professors about my first chapter and just kind of checking in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, anything else? Oh, and I have a podcast. And so I've been trying to bring in more guests, but that of course means I need to talk to more people and I need to like work out that schedule because I do tell people we try to stick to our Tuesday recording time, but also I will, if I can make the space, I'll make the space to interview someone because I love talking to people, in a sense. It's actually weird. I actually don't like speaking to people. I like speaking to people who are of interest to me. Let me say it that way. So if it's like a public speaking event, it's like, ah. But then if it's a public speaking event about something I'm passionate about, I get over it. So it's a weird balance, but it's I've made it work. And so I think that's pretty much all the things I'm doing currently.
Okay.
That sounds right.
Okay. Okay. So basically she just said she's doing everything.
Yes.
If there's anything that could be done, she's doing it. And just so y'all know, this is like a new hair thing going on. So I got a wild curl. That's just going
right
out here like, hey, girl.
Let me tell you, that's why these braids are up in here. Because I'm like, otherwise, it would have been whatever the curls was going to do today. That's what they were going to do. So
I hear you. But I'm like, you know, I'm going to just tuck it back in. So if it's just popping out in the middle of the conversation, that's okay. We're going to be all right with it.
Let her live her life.
Yeah. So... yeah, so basically you're doing everything that you could possibly do.
Yeah.
Like
what it feels like.
Outside of traveling to Mars and building a home there.
Yes.
You're doing pretty much everything on Earth that you could be doing. Okay. So
this is with cutting some things out. There were opportunities presented that I had to say no to, and I was upset because I really wanted to do them, but I was also like, I will die. Like, yeah. I cannot.
Yeah.
There's not enough hours.
So where does imposter syndrome come in for you with it? You know, because it sounds like, okay, it's just a really heavy schedule, but where do you feel like imposter syndrome comes in?
All the things, everywhere. Every single aspect, every single thing that I mentioned, it plays a role. Mm-hmm. In my life in general, it plays a role. And I know we, because I started to touch on it a little bit when we were talking.
Yeah, I said save it.
Before. Yes. Let me tell y'all, she was like, okay, wait, because this is about to be the whole thing.
And
I need to record it.
I already learned my lesson because I don't like it to be just, like, I know all the stuff because I don't want to overthink it. You know what I'm saying? I like it to just flow. So, yeah.
Yes. So, through therapy, of which if y'all are not in therapy, be in it. nothing has to be wrong with you to be in therapy. Sometimes just having a sounding board of the way I see it is someone who's not that invested in your life. Like, yes, they're paying attention, but whatever you decide up or down, left or right, does not impact them. So they can have that step back where they're like, okay, these are all the pieces that you've laid out. Yeah. This is how it looks. These are some ways you can try to fit those pieces together, or these are some pieces that maybe you need to think about taking out.
Yeah.
Because they're not winning something by saying, oh, we'll keep this part in. So
yeah,
be in therapy, y'all. So through therapy, came to the not realization, but kind of confirmed that my whole life has been set up to be conducive to me falling victim to imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. Starting with childhood of nothing's ever good enough. Mm-hmm. That if you get a B, why wasn't it an A? If you get an A, why wasn't it an A plus? You get the A plus, they're like, okay, that's what you're supposed to do. What do you want? Like, wow. You literally did what you're supposed to do. So it's just like, oh, okay, well, fine. So operating at a level where you feel that you have to always be perfect, always be on top of things, always be able to manage other people's emotions and their thoughts and their feelings and make sure all of their accommodations are met without you getting the same in return.
Yeah.
Very much lends itself to imposter syndrome, because you're in a position where you're always doing all of these things, but you're always questioning, okay, but is that enough?
Yeah.
Like, should I also be doing this? Or it can also show up as, like this great thing happened, but.
Yeah.
Or like, I got this opportunity, but. And it's always that but that you're like, okay.
Yeah.
But should I have, or, well, I know this person over here, they're more qualified. I don't know why y'all even called me back. Like, I don't even know how I got this interview.
Wow.
one of my more recent positions, I've been wanting to work at this school for years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, I'm adjunct, pushing for full time. I'm hoping and praying. Mm-hmm. But I literally came in and was just like, I don't even know how I got this interview, y'all. I was like, how y'all let me in here? But also, thank you. So that's progress for me to be like, okay, thanks for that. Because something looks good to you. I don't know what though. And mm-hmm. I still very much am in that mindset of like, I'm not really sure how y'all decided, because mm-hmm. I look at some of the other people who I know, people who are in my friend group, colleagues, other dancers in the area who I know are interested in these types of positions. And I'm just like, well, dude, I would have called them. Like, what you call me for? And yeah. I will minimize the experience that I have. Because even saying it out loud is hilarious, because in my head, I am trying to dissociate myself from this and I'm trying yeah. to talk about it in the third person. Because yeah. it's just, it's easier for me to see it that way.
Yeah.
Because I've been a dance educator since 07.
Mm-hmm.
So we're quickly approaching a solid 20 years of this. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like I went into education from something else. I've always wanted to be an educator. Yeah. I remember third grade, I'm like, I want to be a teacher. Like, that's just what I want to do. I didn't know what I wanted to teach. That kept yeah. changing. But yeah. I knew I wanted to teach. And so I'm like, well, this is in you. You're actually really good at this. And I'll say this. I am great at teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that I can do. And the only reason I can't deny it is because I've seen the results too many times
yeah.
for me to keep arguing with myself about it.
Yeah.
On the flip of it though, I will still be in environments where I'm just like, I don't know that I should be in this room with y'all. Like,
yeah.
So I'm gonna just sit quietly and I'm just gonna kind of shrink into my chair mm-hmm. and I'm gonna let y'all hold this conversation. If you ask me something, I'll usually preface it with something that will hint at, I feel as though, you know, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak, but I'm not sure I should say anything.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'll keep it short to the point, and then I shut up. Like, it is rare outside of like friend group or family, even some family, that might not be true outside of the friend group though,
yeah.
that if it's not them, I'm not talking, because I don't feel like I should be. Because I don't think I'm good enough yet. And there's literally no cap where I'm like, okay, if I get to this, then I know I've made it. I'm good enough. Like, I deserve to be
a PhD. That won't necessarily change anything. Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you feel like one of the reasons you are pursuing the PhD is to kind of see if that will help you?
Well, the funny part about it is I know it won't. Is the funny part about it. I'm like 100%.
It's like, I kind of want this to see if it could, but I know it won't. Is it? Mm-hmm. Is it mm-hmm. both?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. 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 I would agree. It's a bit of both. Like, part of me is like, okay, but if y'all got to call me doctor though,
right.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I know something, but then it's also like, literally while I'm doing this research right now, I'm sitting here like, y'all, first of all, I don't want to read this book. I don't want to read this article. I don't want to do this. And I know I'm a pass, because I cannot even afford to put the thought in that I can't. Like, I fight that daily, that I don't deserve to be in this program, but I still deal with it. So I just try not to speak it.
Yeah.
But when I tell you I'm doing the research, I'm just like, child, I don't know nothing. And I guarantee you, I ain't going to know all this stuff when I'm done. And it's like, nobody knows everything.
Yeah.
It's literally impossible. And I can hear myself saying that to students, saying that to colleagues, saying that to my cohort members, that I'm like, yo, it's really okay that you don't know it all. That's why we can do research. That's why we can go look it up. Like, you're not expected to know everything. You're expected to know what it is you say you know, though. So if you're saying, okay, well, I'm an expert on this, then the expectation is you can firmly speak on something within that realm. But knowing every single thing, that's not possible.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to me, in my head, I'm like, well, the expectation is that I do know every single thing, that I shouldn't have to look it up. And since I know that that's not the case, I know I'll never be good enough. It makes zero sense, but that is the thought process all the time. And I realize how it sounds because I know I would never say that to a student.
Yeah.
I would never say that to a classmate. That I'm like, dude, that doesn't, I'm like, that's illogical. I'm like, you, if that's what you're measuring yourself up against, then yeah, you're always going to feel like that.
Yeah.
But then when I flip it over, I'm just like, nope. Doesn't matter. Like, you still won't be good enough.
Yeah.
Even with the PhD.
Yeah.
You're still not going to know enough. You're not going to be good enough for these engagements. You're not going to be good enough for this position. And it's wild.
Wow. So how does it feel? We know what the actions are behind it and how it's, you know, affected you as far as like, just cerebrally, the things that pop up, mm-hmm. but emotionally to you, how does it feel?
It is distressing. And I feel like therapy in a way made it worse because I became more aware of what was happening. Mm-hmm. So it was gift and a curse at the same time that I'm like, now that I'm more aware, I can more actively push against that, and that helps to kind of alleviate some of that feeling of feeling trapped and that no matter what I do, I can't get out. But it's also like, okay, but now that you know, now you see where it's coming up everywhere. I initially went to therapy for like there was some stuff going on marriage-wise. I didn't say I was married. I don't really be putting that out there. That's why I'm gonna work on that. Probably not, but I'm gonna say that because it sounds good.
Okay.
So initially went for that, and because I was starting the PhD program.
Yeah.
So that's going on 3 years this fall. And so I remember, and like my therapist will talk about how she's like, oh, but you have progressed because you're so much more aware. And I'm like, yeah, but me being more aware, I feel my feelings more. And I was really good at cutting that off. So even though like the imposter syndrome thing has been a thing for like the bulk of my life, I was able to cut that part off and ignore it because I didn't have to look at it. I didn't have to process it. And so the up and downside of having to like really go into that and look at it. I'm like, oh, but these are feelings I don't want to feel. Like, I don't want to, I have cried so many times over submitting papers. When I have straight A's. So let me put that out there. My GPA currently is a 3.8 only because I got an A minus in one class because I do that thing where I don't speak up. And part of our grade was participation. I was like, I'm not talking. I don't know what y'all talking about.
Yeah.
Straight A's, straight A's. I have literally no evidence to support that I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Zero evidence. But I feel as though everything is going to cave in. Like, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
Like, it's, and it's a constant state of being on edge that... Yeah. Okay, is this going to be the time that it all falls apart? Okay, yes, I got this opportunity. I got this. This person said that this was great. But is the next one going to be the time that they finally call me on my stuff? I almost cussed, sorry. That they finally call me on my stuff and be like,
yeah,
but you don't know. And then to me, I'm like, and all I'm going to say is I knew it. I knew I wasn't good enough. And so it's this perpetual feeling of being like walking a very fine line and always nervous, always anxious. Yeah, it sucks. It's pretty horrible.
Yeah.
Like, no, it sucks.
It's not freedom. It doesn't feel like freedom to just be you.
Yes.
Before we get into the actual discussion, because we're going to go there, we are. How has it affected other people in your life?
I will say for sure my kids, because I've tried so hard to not impose that upon them. But when I tell you, definitely the older two, they have had that on them. And yeah. I have had to actively try to backtrack, especially as they got higher up in the grade. So I would say maybe probably the past 3 years or so. Mm-hmm. So the teen was 9th or 10th grade around then. The princess was still in elementary, but getting to upper elementary, and the baby was still like early elementary.
Yeah.
So he had, it's, you can see it in how they respond to things, that the older two dealt with me being like that for longer. Even just taking school, that their approach to doing things is very interesting. And if they do poorly, they're like, do not tell my mom, don't call her, call my dad, don't call her, like, please don't. And admittedly, when they were younger, I told them, I was like, don't you ever let me get a phone call. Be on your best behavior, high grades, that's it. I don't care about nothing else, that's it. Because that's what I was taught.
Yeah.
And as distressing as it was for me, I lived up to it. And like, I kept pushing for that. Let me tell you how my kids ain't me. Let me tell you how they're different people. All three of them will shut down on you. They shut down different ways. All three will do a shutdown. But the older two have gotten better now, especially with me talking with them more, of being like, okay, I'm going to do my best. Yeah. However, that may not be an A in this class.
Yeah.
And I've had to back up and say, okay.
Yeah.
Because if you did your best, then that's really all I can ask you to do. Like, you're, everyone's not going to excel in everything in the same way. The baby, though, with him, part of me is like, I should have let you taste some of that. I should have, because he don't care about nobody's school. He don't care about nobody's education. He's just like, I just want to live my life. And the older ones will look at me like, but you would have been on us, like white on rice. You would have had a foot on our neck if we brought you anything less than this. And I'm like, you're right. I overcorrected with him. I went too far with that one. So for him, way too lax, but for them, way too strict, especially the oldest. So now we're trying to rebalance it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, y'all, I'm trying to balance it in me too. Like, I'm trying to fix it.
Yeah.
And so having those conversations have been both beneficial for all of us, but also, what's the word? How do I want to say it? It's been very much, I don't, because I was taught this way, I don't like letting them know that I don't have it together.
Yeah.
Because my parents painted that image for me that we have it together. So the expectation is when you get here, you have it together. And I'm like, I'm a whole adult. And I'm like, adults made it look like they knew what they were doing. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I am figuring this thing out as I go. Y'all lied. It was misleading. I think that feeds into it too, that they painted this image.
Yeah.
And now I'm in that position and I'm just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Like, this is wild. My students, particularly when I was teaching high school, I think they may have felt it in a similar way to my personal kids.
Yeah.
Of course, not as much because they're not my children, but I know it bled over into my work with them a lot. With classmates currently, I hate it because I understand what they're trying to say and what they're trying to do. I get it, but I'm like, you're not helping. That they very much are like, they'll tell me without me saying anything, no negative self-talk has come up yet.
Yeah.
But they will say things like, well, I already know that you're going to pass. And I already know that you're always the best in the class anyway. They never say anything to you. And I'm just like, I'm like, that makes me anxious because I'm like,
now it's more
okay. It's more pressure.
Yeah.
I got called out in class like a week ago. And part of me wanted to be excited and proud for the because first of all, this was a class that don't nobody get no type of compliment in. Like the whole purpose is to help us write and get through this first chapter. That's the whole purpose. So they're not here to compliment you. They don't care about your feelings. They're just like, this is what you need to fix. Why did you say this? If you're going to quote this person, you need to really understand what they were saying originally.
Yeah.
And I got the compliment, and it's like I both smiled and both had to try to wipe it off my face at the same time.
Yeah.
They're like, well, everyone should read Truly's paper to see how you should structure these things, because the way she introduces each of them, she gives you just enough information so you know what she's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then she explains it clearer later. And so I'm sitting there, face hot, burning up. And I'm just like, I'm like, please stop talking about me. Don't say it no more. Like, please. I was like, cause now I'm like, okay, you can't make any mistakes.
Yeah.
Because now they put you right back up here. I'm like, I keep trying to get away from that bar, but I keep getting placed back.
Yeah.
And so colleagues are always like, okay, yeah. Like, that's just where you operate. And I'm like, do you know what it's like having to live with that all the time?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, this is...
That's not a level of stress that is just really unhealthy. So
it is.
So I have a question. When have you failed at something?
I failed one semester in college. That was earned. Man, I earned that failing semester. When I say failed the semester, I mean every class. I was in summer school from there on out to graduate on time. And that was because I was online at the time. And I made the decision that I was like, you know what? I'm not going to class. I'm going to sleep.
Yeah.
And that went from just doing it that one time to I did that for like months.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh.
Yeah.
Y'all not going to let me make that test up.
Yeah.
And now when I teach students like that, I'm like, no, I'm not going to let you make it up. You made a bad decision. Consequences.
So that was intentional.
Mm-hmm. Have I ever failed without it being intentional?
Yeah. Not necessarily like school, but anything in life that you feel like you failed at and it wasn't intentional.
Not really, no. The only thing that comes to mind, I would say, would be marriage. I'm still actively married to the same person, mind you. Same individual. He lives here. I would count this as a failure, though.
Yeah.
I would. I definitely would. Not intentional. Well, initially not intentional.
Yeah.
At this point, I am making very intentional decisions that I'm like, but I don't want to talk to you. So,
I won't. Yeah.
So now it's intentional, but initially, no.
Do you feel like your experience with imposter syndrome and you holding yourself to a certain standard has affected your marriage and your relationship? Okay.
Yeah. Definitely. I always felt like it was my fault. Mm-hmm. And it was because I didn't do something. Mm-hmm. Even if it was he has to work late or he's choosing to work all these additional hours. And I'm like, well, if you would do X, Y, Z, then maybe he wouldn't.
Yeah.
And having the kids.
Yeah.
Very much. And of which I don't regret putting my kids first. I will say I am one of those people that I'm like, yeah, I'm not putting you before my kids though, because first of all, they're minors. They cannot survive without me. They're going to be priority ones. That's just how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it turned into, well, if you hadn't put all the focus on raising the kids, then maybe this wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And like the same voice is also saying to me, you know, them kids would have died, right? Like, if you, like, you were the one taking care of them. Then it turns into, well, other women have done it. So what's wrong with you? Why can't you balance all of it? Why can't you handle the full-time job, raising the kids, being in school, keeping him happy? Why can't you do all of it?
Yeah.
And I had no answer for that besides, okay, well, obviously I'm just not good enough to do all of these things.
So what do you want right now in your life? What do you feel like would feel like joy to you?
I honestly don't know. Mm-hmm. Because even the things that I kind of want to say, I don't know that they actually would result in that for me. Like, I would, first of all, I don't know, I might be, someone pay off my student loans. That would do something joyous in my life. That would lift my spirits. Mm-hmm. But like happy life-wise.
Can you even picture it?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. So.
Not at all.
So that's where we have to have that kind of conversation. You know, you haven't failed at anything. You're being held to a level of standard by society, by people outside of yourself, to be a certain way. Mm-hmm. And so you can't even enjoy your success. You can't even enjoy the wins. So therefore, you can't receive. There's an energy that, you know, when we're talking about balance, and I did a show and we talked about balance, but this concept of balance, you know, there's give, take, there's, you know what I'm saying? There's a flow, ebb and flow, and you're not allowing anything to flow into you because everything has to be here, and that's not life. Sometimes things are here, and it sounds to me like your children are kind of a representation of that. Like your youngest is kind of like teaching you that it's okay, mommy, to let go. And sometimes I think in life we have to like even certain things outside of ourselves are communicating some things to us. Mm-hmm. And so, but also at the same time, you have to be clear about what you want.
Yeah.
But you got to get a vision for that.
And I think that right there has been, because that 100% has come up in therapy, 100%. Mm-hmm. Because she actually asked me that exact question. She's like, can you even visualize, mm-hmm, like what like ideal life would be like, just happy? And I'm like, no. I'm like, it literally... I was like, I can think of things that I know people say, and I'm, yeah, like, oh, I should be happy if that happens.
Yeah.
But to really see that as a reality,
yeah,
not at all. But with the baby, that child, I love him so much, but he be having me out here like, sir, like, could you, what? Raise the bar. And he's like, but I mean, I'm passing, well, I'm okay, though, right? And I'm like,
are he's you? Like, but I'm okay because I'm okay with, yes, me. And that's the thing I'm saying. Don't try to reject that.
Yeah.
That's to teach you. Allow it to teach you. You know what I'm saying? I truly believe wisdom is wisdom. Whether it's from a 6-year-old or a 66-year-old, it's wisdom.
That is true.
You know, it's, and so what, because nothing outside of you matters at the end of the day. As much as we might, you know, because people can show up all the time and they have a facade. You can have a smile on your face and your heart is broken. And that's what we have to understand. Well, which is more important to have? You were taught that to have the smile on the face is more important than what the condition of your heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just encourage you right now, we got to focus on the condition of the heart. Like, yeah. And really doing some self-discovery and saying that it's okay. And this concept, like I spoke with someone, it was a coworker, and one of her things was she was just very meticulous about things. And like every time she got out of the bed, it had to be made and it had to be perfect. Like she couldn't not do it. And I told her, I said, what if you just got up out the bed one day and didn't make your bed?
It feels like the world will come crumbling down.
Exactly. Exactly.
Even when you know it won't, it is like that feeling of like, oh, mm-hmm, I need to do this. I need to do this. Oh my God. I have to. Oh no, I feel her on that. Like I'd never make a bed. Like I can see my bed from here and I'm like, I'll never make it, but I have things very much like that, that I'm like, I have to do it this way and it has to happen or the world ends.
But you have to train yourself, because this is what I really want people to understand. A lot of the things that we believe, were just taught to us. We don't really necessarily believe them. Mm. We were just taught them. Like, we were taught, like, think about it. A lot of people in the Black community have been taught that, okay, if you're a Black man and you're 6'7", you need to play basketball. Mm-hmm. Why?
Right? It's like,
even if other people came up to you and was like, you play basketball? And, no, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Imagine that. And so it's just kind of like, we don't have to believe what we think, because we're not always like that's not necessarily us. What we think, when we're constantly believing what we think, and if it's not something that's necessarily serving us, that's when we start to get into trouble. And then it's just like, and then you got to really get to a place where you're like radical and say to yourself, you know what? I get that I think this way. Like, I get, like, for me, and I'll say for my scars, like, I get that I feel like I'm unattractive because of my scars. Like, I'm less than. It was like, I literally was in my mom's lap crying at 10 years old, like, nobody's ever gonna wanna marry me because of my scars. The whole nine yards. Like, yeah. But that's information I pulled from outside of myself. You see what I'm saying? And so we got to get to a point within our lives where we're like, what's more important? The information that I'm receiving from outside of me that makes me feel sad, that depresses me, is it more important that I listen to that and abide by that? Or is it more important that I listen to what's going on inside of me, and the inside of me is saying, I'm not ugly because of my scars, or I don't have to be perfect in everything in order to love who I am. And if I disappoint somebody because I get a B, who gives a crap?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt good. You know what that, you know what that B costs? You know what that B brought into my life? That B brought into my life, I got to not be stressed out. My stomach doesn't hurt. I got to lay on the couch and kind of chill. I got to play with my kids a little more and feel like happier playing with them and hanging out with them. I got, you know, I said some really nice stuff to my husband last night. Lord, this beating made my life better. You know
what I mean? Yeah.
So it's like, what if we move in an energy that's just like, what's going to bring the balance into my life? Mm-hmm. What's going to bring the peace into my life? And then one of the things I talk about in my book was when I revealed my scars for the first time at 25 years old. So just so you know, my story was burned at 18 months. And then I didn't look at myself in the mirror until I was 25. So at 25, I wore a bathing suit without a t-shirt for the first time. And I did it. I forced myself to be in front of other people. So I was at a pool party. I walked out there and I thought everybody was just going to be like, ugh, look at you. What happened to you? I thought it was going to be a million gazillion questions, right? So I go out there. Everybody's, you know, doing the thing, eating, playing cards in the pool. And I walk around like, I know they're going to say something. I know they're going to say something. What you going to say? I know you're going to say, what about y'all? I know y'all going to say, oh, I know you see it. Girl, nobody said anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it was all in my mind. It was in my mind because I had felt the way I had felt since I was 3 years old. And the first time I was in dance class, I quit dance class because I was in ballet and I had to wear a unitard. And it was one of those things where the kids were like, what happened? What's going on?
Yeah.
And so I shut down. So it sounds to me like there's a lot of shutdown mode happening, and you shut yourself down from being able to feel, being able to receive, being able to be at peace. And I don't think you should feel guilty for it either, though. Like you mentioned being in therapy, and it's kind of like, now that you know, before you could just kind of full speed ahead and didn't have to really be conscious of it. But I encourage you to actually be conscious of it. Like that's what I had. One of my steps in the process that I look at is acknowledge where you are. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be upset about it. Like I had to acknowledge, yeah, you got some scars. Okay. And then embracing it. Embracing it for me was looking in the mirror for the first time. And it took a 6-month process to do it. But it was like, okay, all right, I'm uncomfortable with this right now. But you keep doing it. You keep meeting yourself where you are on a daily basis. And you give yourself grace. And this is literally you learning to love yourself as you fully are, regardless of what you do. Mm-hmm. And you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely have, thanks to tell you, my therapist is great. Love her. Have definitely been pushed to do some things that I'm like, okay, I'm going to make myself apply for a conference to speak.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, child, I don't want to be in front of these people. Yeah. And it's very much that same feeling of I'm going to get up on that stage and they're going to be like, who is she?
Yeah.
What does she know?
Yeah.
How does she know how to speak on this topic? Like, what does she know that I don't know?
Yeah.
And I have done it. I have presented at one so far.
Awesome.
I terrified the whole time, but I did it. But I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made myself apply for another.
Good.
And I was like, do it again. And got accepted to that one. I was like, oh, so y'all just gonna keep saying yes. Oh, absolutely. So now I gotta show up. So I'm like, okay. And I'm like, it's very much a, like you said, like leaning into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've spent so many years pulling back. Yeah. That is the first sign of feeling something. I'm like, cut that off. We don't have time.
Yes.
Because if I'm feeling my feelings, I can't try to be perfect.
Yes.
And it's like, but you're not though. Nobody is. Go ahead and feel that. Feel how you feel and then just do what you need to do from there.
Yeah.
But don't cut that back off. And I think what really, because maybe the first full year of therapy, I was still just like, mm-hmm. It made me cry a month ago. I'm not crying no more in here.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing my daughter do that same type of shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, how can I tell you that you shouldn't do that when that's what you see modeled?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you're doing exactly what you see me do. And when she is, and the oldest has done it, the baby has done it. She is like my mirror reflection though. It's weird, but adorable also. Cute thing.
Mm-hmm.
Love her to pieces because she's just like me. And I'd be like, whoo, y'all really let me be out here in life like this. Like this kid, like someone come get her. Like she's just like me.
Yeah.
And seeing her shut down because as much as she's like me, she's not me.
Mm-hmm.
And so her shutdown is not, I'm a shut down and shoot for perfect. Her shutdown is I'm shutting down because you're telling me I'm not good enough.
Mm.
I believe you. Mm. And I was like, I can't do this. I'm like, this ain't gonna work. I'm like, because I can't have you out here feeling this. I'm like, I hate how it feels in me.
Yeah.
And the thought of my kids feeling that and that I had any piece of that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't. And that was almost a full year into therapy when that happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I need to figure out how to lean into that. And I mean, and it's still, very much a work in progress. It is always, I think for me personally, I don't think I will, I can't fathom it. At least let me say it that way. I can't picture me ever getting to the point where it's not going to be work. But I am getting more comfortable with the idea of I'm okay putting that work in. Because that work not only benefits me, but it benefits my kids. And if I can spare them from some of this, then it was more than worth it. But also to just not feel like this all the time, because it sucks. It is by far one of the worst things to always feel like you're never going to be good enough.
Yeah. You know what I really encourage? This is what I started envisioning you doing something. I don't know what you're not good at. Are you good at
I can't sing.
Singing. Okay.
And I sing, child.
Here's what I want. Literally, this is what I want you to do. I really do. And I need you to reach out to me and we gonna do something. Like I need to see a video of it. I don't know.
Ooh, wait.
I know. It is what it is. But I know we're not necessarily in a space for karaoke right now. But what I want you to do is to record yourself singing a song. Videotape yourself singing a song. And I mean, you trying, but you know you sound bad. I need you to do this. I need you to do it. And I need you to look at yourself. And I need you to be like, look at myself up here trying. And that ain't good at all. I don't sound good. Not at all. The reason I say that is funny, but I like practice failing and being okay with it. I mean, if you weren't polarized the opposite way, like, cause I would never give this to somebody who's just like, I don't be doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm just chilling. I would never say that to anybody, but you are not that person. So to me, it's just like, once you embrace the concept of being a failure at something, or like, for instance, I'll say this as it pertains to stand-up comedy. They're like, there's how many comedians are making millions of dollars? And they're like, yeah, when I started out, I got booed.
Yeah.
I've been around them. They said this. They're like, look, once you get booed, like once you suck, then you're on the road to being awesome. Because you got to get over yourself. You see what I'm saying? You got to see, because what happens is you are so focused on winning all the time that it becomes an obsession and you can't really be yourself. Like you have to learn how to laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
Cause if you take yourself too seriously, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, nobody can relate to you. Mm-hmm. And people are always trying to relate to you all the time. That's one of the reasons I did stand-up comedy, is because I was like my mom, and I even talked about this in my stand-up. I was like, nobody's mom is happy that their daughter, their child is doing stand-up. Nobody. Because literally, it's kind of like, so you're just going to go be broke? Is that what you're going to do?
Look.
For life?
Look.
Now, when your own mama, who loves you to pieces, is like, yes, girl, go on out there and say some jokes on the stage, girl. Like, you know why? It's because I was so caught and stuck in myself and being so serious and cerebral, I wasn't flowing with life. So I encourage you to do some stuff. Like, it ain't, no, you have to just be, not just before you do your event, before you do anything major, I encourage you to do some micro failings, so to speak. I'm not a person that draws. You know what? I draw stick figures and I can barely do that. Okay.
But I draw a mean smiley face.
That's what I'm saying. Do a paint and sip and be like, and then display this mug for your friends. Put it on Facebook and be like, I tried. And they'll be like, that's cute. They're gonna put the I care sign on there. The I care is like, like you know, like, that's like,
like precious lamb, precious lamb.
Exactly. Like, so do that. Because you got to see yourself still being loved without being perfect.
Yeah.
Get the feedback. That's why I say record yourself and let people see it. Even if just the singing part is just for your family and for your kids. Let them see you. Let them, and if they laugh, like, take it in though. Because when I went out and I showed my stars, I still was just, like, they still had to see it. They still had to see my ugly, what I felt was my ugly. Let people see your ugly. Ugly. And then what they do is they're going to tell you it's beautiful because it's you being open and honest. And I'm telling you, that is going to open up stuff relationship-wise, everything-wise, like any relationship. Is going to help with teaching. It helps with speaking. Whenever I go, like, I've been in situations where I'm speaking, my mic done went out, the other thing didn't happen. Like, it's just not perfect. And I'm like, hey, guess what? It's all right. How you doing? We going to still have a conversation. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the energy of life. Because when you look at a movie, you know what a horrible movie would be? If you saw, if it's a romantic comedy, right? And you just saw guy meets girl, they fall in love and get married and live happily ever after. Why did I tune into this?
Yeah.
That's all that happened?
That is true.
So guy meets girl, they fall in love, ain't nobody get scared, nobody ran away, nobody had a hard time, nobody heart got broken, nobody did. If you know how horrible Forrest Gump would be if Jenny was just like, hey, where we going?
Yeah. That is true.
You see what I'm saying?
That is true.
Yeah. So that we're not doing that. We're not doing that because that's not even an interesting story. And it's like, you didn't come here to be boring. You came here to fully expand and you're doing it. Because even this part, even the hard stuff, like, this sucked and I feel like this and blah, blah, blah. Once you get that balance and you find that balance and you're like, oh, I just started sucking a bit. I just started being pretty awful at stuff and being okay with it. You are gonna freaking enjoy this stuff for real. You gonna have fun. You gonna be like, yo, I can't roller skate either. Let's go to the skating rink. That's what you gonna do.
Get out my head. You know my life, sis, because who gonna bust they tell immediately? This one. But would I go if you invited me? I'll show up.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. That's all. I really feel like, and you know, staying, this is just what I feel. I just like to kind of share and encourage because I'm so excited. I love the fact that you are excellent. But what's going to happen is just that you're going to get a really good appreciation for yourself. Like, really start being selfish, more selfish than you have been, because you've just been taught. And, you know, like, you've just been taught that you can't be that. And you're just reprogramming yourself. And so as you start to fail and laugh at yourself and enjoy and not care, then you're going to be like, this feels good. Then you're going to start to get a vision of what feels good in your life. And then when you get the vision of what feels good, then your life is going to follow suit with that. And you're going to be like, oh, I have to be able to just be chill. Oh, I have to be able to, I'm not about, You know what I'm saying? So, girl, shoot. I'm so excited. I'm not going to play with you. I really do. I want to see something you done made. And I need you to post it. You can't be don't be being like all these people on social media. Oh, this is how fancy I am. Oh my God. Like,
everything's amazing. Perfect.
Yeah.
It's great.
Exactly.
Yes. It's like, No, we be a mess sometimes.
Exactly. Like, I got scars, baby. That's why I named it this. I got scars, baby. What? What do you want? Yeah. Like, what? And that's it. It's like, what? What we doing? Like, I'm still worthy. I'm still beautiful. I'm still intelligent. What we doing? Mm-hmm. That's it. And that right there, that energy is going to bring in all the goodness. Because there's a whole bunch of goodness that can't even get to you right now. Mm-hmm. Because you wouldn't be able to handle it. But let you be like, yo, what's up? I ain't about to be perfect up in here, but I'm going to tell y'all the truth. You're going to use this thing when you speak to people, when you go and you do these conferences, you're going to use this. Yeah. Once you get through on the other side and find that balance, you're going to be like, oh yeah, let me tell you something. And then you go from being, okay, she was a good speaker, to like, oh my God, she changed my life. So this is all being used for a purpose. So never feel bad about that. The failings, the failures, mm-hmm. man, they make the best story. That's what made Forrest Gump amazing. Yeah. That's what makes your story amazing and powerful. And it's going to change people's lives. That's how powerful you are. So I just had to say that. I just had to share that.
Yes. And I know it to be true. I do. Mm-hmm. Because I 100%, because even just the thought of like, be okay failing, be okay yeah. with that. I've taught students that for years. My favorite saying is always, the floor will always catch you. Mm-hmm. I'd rather you go big and fall than you held back and you never did it for real.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I was like, just fall. I was like, mm-hmm. this is the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, go ahead. I was like, and if you mess up on stage, I was like, child, make it the most beautiful mistake I've ever seen.
Hello, Beyonce.
And keep going.
Many times she is, oh, and I'm up.
Yeah. And be like, and we're back.
What's up? Like,
and what? Yes. So 100%.
Yeah.
So I know definitely the switch is apply your own advice to yourself.
That part. And don't feel bad about not doing it, because it's always easier said than done, right?
Yeah.
It's always easier said than done. But that's why I said practice with micro failings.
Yeah.
Stuff that's not really that heavy, but you got to get your system has to get used to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So whatever the little micro failings are, practice it, do it. Like, do an exercise that you know. It's like, I should not, like, no, I'm not about to, like, I'm gonna suck at this.
Yeah.
And do it. And be like, yo, I was pretty awful. And be like, okay, cool. Like, have fun. That's it. Just have fun, girl. I'm loving it. I want to see it. You know, I ain't gonna, you send something to me or something, I'm not gonna go blast it to the world. But it'd be wonderful if you put it on Facebook and just be like, tag me on it.
Yeah,
and
I tag you.
Like, this is hilarious. I love that you did this. I'm telling you, see what your feedback is. See what it is. It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, definitely gonna be interesting. Yes. I'm pitching like
you over here like, hold on, calm down.
Are y'all ready? Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yes, but it's gonna be great. I'm telling you. As soon as I started talking about my scars, people started showing me theirs. Mm. I mean it. Like, I went and I sang, I performed my song, and I shared my story. And people afterward, they came up to me and was like, "Hey, this happened to me," and they showed me something. I have a cousin I've known since he's known me my whole life. When I started doing this, he said, oh, I have a scar on my leg that I've never let anybody see, and he let me see it.
Wow.
This is real. This is real. And your classmates, your cohort, like all these, they're going to be like, hey, wow. Just even when you talk to them about, yeah, I get it. I do really, really well. But it hurts.
Yeah.
And I need y'all to be okay if I don't.
Yeah.
That's it. Because you're most important. Who gives a crap? I'm sorry, not trying to downplay it, but who gives a crap about the PhD? You're the person that matters. Like, you matter.
Yeah.
And I know you know that, but it's just like, yeah, I'm not saying fail out of school, but I'm just saying do some shenanigans, have some fun. That's it. That's the start. And it'll be hilarious and fun. And it'll be a wonderful story to share with everybody.
Yeah.
As I try all to right. This hair that's all over the place.
It's all right.
It's everywhere. It's fine. I was trying to do something new, y'all. I was trying to do something new.
It was cute though. Like, she got her own little thing going on. She living her best life.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying, you know, like, you know, hey, we good. I'm so thankful that you shared this experience with me and with the I've Got Scars Baby community. And I just know it's going to help so many people because we're all amazing in so many ways. And it's like, but people teach us how to love other people. We're always taught how to love God, how to love others, but we're not always taught how to just love ourselves and be cool with ourselves. Mm. And you know, so this is not just a you thing.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not alone in that. Like, I had to learn it. I'm still learning things. Everybody is in the progress. But, you know, for anybody watching this, it's like everybody's a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. Like, we're all a work in progress. But we have to also still look within ourselves to see what's most important. Like, I got to feel good within me in order for me to be good for anybody else.
That is true. Like that analogy of pouring into all these other things, but if I'm empty, how can I pour?
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't. It'd be like, it's so dry in here. I'm trying to
pour. It's like
it's just like, yeah, like what's in there? Nothing's in there.
Nothing. Yeah.
Like, you better fill yourself up, even if you just fill yourself up with grace. And say, hey, I'm a mess right now, but I love myself enough to give myself grace and allow myself to be a mess right now until I can do other steps to get me together. And that's it. And so when you're in that space, it feels like freedom.
Yeah. I feel like I've had like tastes of it's like, I'm so close.
I see it in your face right now.
And it's like, okay, let's live in that now. Like,
but don't even rush that. The simple fact that you're feeling it and starting to see it more clearly. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Before you were like, I can't really fathom what that really feels like. But now I think you're starting, I'm like, oh shoot, you see the little somethings. It's, and just let it continue to manifest. And present itself to you, and you got it. I'm so excited. And yes, keep me posted, girl, because you my Detroit sister.
Yeah, look, I'm tagged now. Oh, when please. It happens.
Girl.
But took everything not to wear all my Detroit gear, because I'm like, I'm trying to be professional.
As I sit over here.
All I got is hoodies and t-shirts. Look, we're not gonna talk about the bottom half that's happening under the blazer, because I don't dress like this.
Ever is the bottom half ever in alignment with the top half when we on Zoom? No. What are we talking about?
The only time it is when I'm teaching one of my movement classes. That's it. That's because they see all of me, and I'm like, let me not be on here looking real stupid because they'll record it.
Hilarious.
let me not.
But that's all it. Girl. I think Zoom is trying to teach us to just not take ourselves too seriously, because from the bottom down, people have on, they got a whole suit on up top, and at the bottom, they got some pajama pants and some bunny slippers. Okay. That's what we doing. That is what's going on.
Like, of which, full disclosure for your audience, I am dressed, at least. I do have that going
you
on.
Imagine?
But
look at you.
These are the leggings I wore to teach in. I was like, what am I changing pants for? Y'all can't see that. But amazing. I don't have...
You don't have to see? That's what I'm saying.
Ain't no socks or shoes on, though, because I'm in the house. Need it. And I'm like, I just taught a dance class. Like, what I got shoes on for?
Exactly. Hello.
So I was like, well, like, it's like the... You're seeing the man behind the curtain now. Cause I'm like, this is 100% just like a tank top. This is a crop top and a blazer. I'm like, I am basically ready to take this off and teach another class. Is basically where we are.
I am not mad at you. And guess how I feel about that? I feel very good about that. Yes. I feel very happy. I am fully receiving of that. That's what we're doing. The fact, cause what was most important is this conversation mm-hmm. and your honesty and your heart and your spirit. And that's what happened. So, all right. Okay. I feel good. Is there anything that you would like to share? Like one last point you would like to share? And if not, just let people know how maybe if they can support you in any type of way, feel free to share that.
Oh yeah, I have both of those things.
Awesome.
If I had to leave it off on one thought, it definitely would be, it's gonna be okay. Even when it feels like it's not going to be okay, even when it feels like the world is crumbling in, it feels like no one is listening, no one is supporting, it's going to be okay. Because every day that you are still here is another day that you have to try again. You have to try new things. You have to make new connections. You have to rekindle old connections. It will be okay. And sometimes like that fake it till you make it is real sometimes. Sometimes you just have to say, you know what? It's going to be fine. I feel like this right now, but it's going to be fine. See, mm-hmm. I do know that. That's what I always teach my kids. I'm like, it'll be okay. Like yeah. You're going to have those ups and downs, but at the end of it all, it's going to be okay. It always manages to work out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can find me on the best platform for me is Instagram for business things at Dance Talk Realness. Initially, that was only my podcast page. And now I'm starting to transition it into my main business page.
Awesome.
I also have a website, trulybennett.com. I need to update that thing. I ain't gonna hold you. I'm like, that'll get updated when I get a break. So y'all gonna have to look at what you can see for right now. Right. But for the most part, I am just living day by day trying to get through this semester. But I post weekly episodes. I have an awesome co-host. And we are trying to have more guests. We talk primarily about dance related things, but it's not a podcast only for dancers. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to pull in more guests, hint, hint, wink, wink, that aren't dancers mm-hmm. that can add another perspective, because too many people in any field just mm-hmm. kind of operate in their own little silo. And I'm like, yeah, but we're all interconnected though.
Yeah.
So I definitely am interested in getting other artists on. So I need some musicians, hint, hint, wink, wink. I need some actors, hint, hint, wink, wink. Like I need all these things because we always see the arts as separated too.
Yeah,
it's not. True. We are not. True. We are very related, very interconnected. So pop on by. Dance Talk Realness episodes go up every week on Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I be cussing on there though, y'all. So if you don't like cussing, don't. The early episodes, you can listen to those. But I will say, you can see my growth because I made myself do the podcast.
Yeah.
It was a part of the, you do know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You actually have information to share with people.
Yes.
Like, share it, and you can see my discomfort in the early episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see me gradually relax over them to where now I just be talking. And I'm like, all right, so this is what we doing today. This is where we at. So it's like a case study in me trying to learn how to lean into being okay with not being perfect. The last thing about it is you will notice I never edit anything. My podcast, because I'm like, part of the realness of Dance Talk Realness is I'm gonna keep it real with you. If I messed up, that's gonna be in there.
I love it.
If I misspoke, then I'm gonna just have to circle back and apologize and make my correction, but I'm not gonna take anything out. And that was the hardest part, because I was like, oh, can I fix it? And I'm like, don't touch it. I was like, just put it out there. Just post it. So baby steps.
That's huge. I'm proud of you. Like, that's really awesome. Yes.
Still that's, makes me anxious to this day, but
no, I get it.
I do it. And I am even more so intentional with it now that I'm like, ooh, I sure did it. The first time I cussed for real, I was like, it's going up. It happened. And then I'm like, well, we're here now. So
I get it.
I was like, I'm not perfect. And if anyone ever thought that, then I apologize for false advertising. That's all I got for you, though. Right. But I was like, I'm not, but I do know a lot.
There you go. And that's all you got to do is just be that. Yeah. And people gravitate toward what they feel is real. It's just a connection. We feel each other. We know what it is. So it's all good. I'm so excited for you. I'm so happy for you. This was so much fun. I just gotta say that. I really enjoyed this so much. This is a different format, but to me, I love it because, because I relate to it as well. So I'm proud of you, happy for you. Keep me posted on everything. And thank you so much for being a part of this. I believe it'll really be able to help so many people. And yes, I appreciate your time and your energy, girl.
Thank you for having me. You can always call me back.
All right, girl. Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.